Shunyani Vashkadale Stamne. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 2. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Text number, I don't know where we left off. I have to check the board. From chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text 49. Please repeat. Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yogat danam jaya buddhau sharanam anvichcha kripanaha falahetavaha durenyavaram karma. 249. It's 113. Yeah, sorry. Buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhau sharanam anvicha kripana vala hetavaha durena yavaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhau sharanam anvichcha kripana vala hetavaha durena yavaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhau sharanam anvichcha kripana phala hetavaha. You want to try, please? Durena yavaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhau sharanam anvichcha. Yeah, fruits. Kripana phala hetava. Please repeat. Durena. Discarded at a long distance. Discard. He certainly avaram abominable karma activity buddhi yogat on the strength of Krishna consciousness dhanam jaya O conqueror of wealth buddhau in such consciousness sharanam, full surrender. Anvichcha, try for. Kripanaha, misers. Falahetava, those desiring fruitive results. Translation, O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. Purport. One who has actually come to understand one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord gives up all engagements save working in Krishna consciousness. As already explained, Buddhi Yoga means transcendental loving service to the Lord. Such devotional service is the right course of action for the living entity. Only misers desire to enjoy the fruit of their own work just to be further entangled in material bondage. Except for work in Krishna consciousness, all activities are abominable because they continually bind the worker to the cycle of birth and death. One should therefore never desire to be the cause of work. Everything should be done in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. Misers do not know how to utilize the assets of riches which they acquire by good fortune or by hard labor. One should spend all energies working in Krishna consciousness, and that will make one's life successful. Like misers, unfortunate persons do not employ their human energy in the service of the Lord. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakya Chakshur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Durena yavaran karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhao sharanam anvichcha kripana falahitavaha. Kripana falahitavaha. So if you desire for the fruits of your work, then you are called a kripana. A brahmana is supposed to be broad-minded. Broad-minded. And the opposite of a brahmana is a kripana. So Brahmana, he gives charity, and he accepts charity. He gives knowledge, and he gathers knowledge, and he performs yagya, or specifically, well, you could say sankirtan yagya, and also specifically deity worship, and he engages people in yagya and deity worship. Right, isn't it like that? Six activities of the Brahmana. Yajna, Dhanam. You don't know this? Yeah, so I think I remember correctly. There are six activities. He gives charity and he accepts charity. He gives knowledge and he gathers knowledge. And he, well, specifically deity worship, and he engages people in deity worship. Or you could say yajna. So that is the six activities of the Brahmana. So you can see with these activities he's receiving, Prabhupada says, we can get $1 million in the morning and spend it at the end of the day. Everything will be spent. So this is the idea that is very giving. But a miser, and like you see with this example, Prabhupada says, because you have these Mayavadis and they would say, no, I don't accept any money. But Prabhupada says, we can accept all the money of the world because we know what to do with it. So that is the idea from this purport, that we have to engage everything in Krishna's service. And if we want to enjoy the fruits of our work, then we are misers. Kripana phala hetavaha. If we desire, the phala means fruit. If we desire the fruit of results, then we are kripanas. And this is Krishna. This is not Prabhupada. This is Krishna saying this. And this also, this is very interesting because he calls Arjuna Dhananjaya. And he is now the temple president in Amsterdam. Of course, he is Dhananjaya Das. But it means gatherer of wealth or conqueror of wealth. Jaya means conqueror and Dhan. Maybe you know Hindi? No? So you have Dhan. We used to distribute books in The Hague. You know The Hague? It's like The Hague. It's like the government of Holland is situated in The Hague. And the, also the universal law, like the war criminals, they bring them to The Hague. So it's an important city. But there's many Hindus there. And the government of Holland, it's resting there, sitting there. But we used to collect with the Hindus, we used to tell them, Chota Dhan Bhara Punya. You give a small donation and you get so much punya, so much good karma. And then they would give something and we give them Upanishad or higher taste. We distributed hundreds, maybe thousands of books. Anyway, so Dhan means wealth or, you know, money here, conqueror of wealth. Because Jai, because sometimes we say Jai, Srila Prabhupada, it also means all glories, but it also means conqueror. It's like a kind of a kshatriya thing, you know, ki jai. You know, it's like, we're going to defeat our enemy, ki jai, like that. Because, you know, ultimately we're also in an army, yeah? It's we're non-violent, generally. I mean, violence can be used in some extreme measures. It's like a knife. You can use it for violence or you can use it to operate someone. So violence is like that. It is dangerous, but it sometimes can be used for the proper cause. So this Jai Dhananjai, it means to conquer. Okay, Durena Yavaram Karma, Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya. Yeah, I just wanted to stress that it is kind of ironic that Krishna is calling Arjuna conqueror of wealth because he's speaking about the fruits of the results. He's saying in 48, perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. Yeah, so, and if you look at 47, he's saying you have a right to perform your prescribed duty. Excuse me, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities and never be attached to not doing your duty. So this is the whole kind of thing of the Bhagavad Gita, that he wants Arjuna to do his duty as a warrior. And he's basically, Kruna Maya has explained it to us, and it's thanks to also Burijan's book, that there's kind of five objections Arjuna made in the first chapter, and Krishna is defeating one after the other. And here also he's taking the opportunity to explain about prescribed duty. But he's explaining Krishna consciousness. He's saying you have to do your duty, but you should offer the fruits to me. That is what he's explaining actually today, more or less. He says, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. And Sharanam Sarvadharma Prityagya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Pavebhyo. This is from the 18th chapter, 66 text. There also this Sharanam word is used, surrender unto the Lord. But here it said, Buddhau Sharanam. You should surrender, how does it say? In that consciousness, surrender unto the Lord. Buddha also means intelligence. So if you're conscious of things, then that is like a sign of intelligence. Prabhupada sometimes says you first have to be conscious and then Krishna conscious. But here, of course, if you look at the Sanskrit and the translation is just completely perfect. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, I did not write these books. And you know, I don't know of any author that relished so much his own books. Because Prabhupada asked people so many times to read from Bhagavad Gita, and then Prabhupada was just listening like somebody else wrote it. And, you know, according to Prabhupada, somebody else did write it. He said Krishna wrote these books. I didn't really write them. And you can just see it by translation like this. Because I read another translation of Huxley. I think it was Aldous Huxley. And you can't really understand Bhagavad Gita if you read it. But if you, especially also you need Prabhupada's purports. But just the translation, it's already so enlightening. Durena yavaram karma. So, we should keep all abominable activities, buddhi yoga dhananjaya, far distant by devotional service, buddhi yoga. So, actually, yoga means to connect with Krishna, and buddhi, again, it means also intelligence, and Prabhupada here says, on the strength of Krishna consciousness, buddhi yoga. So, in that consciousness, buddhi sharanam anvicha, you try to surrender to me. And if you don't do it, then you're a miser. Purport. One who has actually come to understand one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord gives up all engagements save working in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so this is the beginning of Krishna consciousness, you know. Then you hear this. You hear that you are an eternal servant of Krishna. And in the beginning it's kind of hard, first of all, to just hear it. I'm a servant. I don't want to be a servant. And then, second of all, it's hard to understand it. Who is Krishna? How am I a servant? I'm this body, no? So you have to understand that you're not this body, and that your soul, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the soul is situated in the heart, and it goes from one body to the other. Krishna already explained it in the text number 13. Dehanasmin yata dehi kamaram jovanam jara. Ta deha antara praptir. He gets another body at the end, at the anta of the deha, the end of the body. So we are eternal servitors. That is our constitutional position. Jivara swarup hoy Krishnaira nityadas. Eternal swarup of the jiva, of the soul, is a servant of Krishna. Krishna nityadas. Eternal servant of Krishna. As already explained, buddhi yoga means transcendental loving service to the Lord. So again, the translation that Prabhupada gives there is absolutely perfect and profound. Transcendental loving service. Buddhi yoga means transcendental and loving service. It's very unique, this translation. Such devotional service is the right course of action for the living entity. So Prabhupada is just repeating, and it's also explained that Krishna also does it. He repeats things, and this is important sometimes, or many times actually, to repeat things, especially in Kali Yuga. Only misers desire to enjoy the fruit of their own work just to be further entangled in material bondage. Yeah, so the idea is that actually we don't owe anything. We don't even owe this body. This body was given to us by our parents, basically. And the body of our parents was given by their parents, and then ultimately you come to Lord Brahma, and then you come to Lord Garbhadakasai Vishnu, and he's the what is that word? Pratapita Maha or something, the great great grandfather or something. Anyway. So we don't owe anything. And so therefore we cannot renounce anything, and we can also not owe anything. Own, yeah. Oh. Right, oh. Yeah, own. Well, it's the same thing in one sense. I guess my English is not so good. But the point is that First of all, you don't own anything, and you don't possess anything, so you can't renounce it. Neither can you really have it. It's not yours. But then, if you, because like I explained already, it's in the purport, we're eternal soul. We're coming from the spiritual world. And Krishna basically created this. It's called, sometimes called Durga. It's like a prison. It's very difficult to get out. Dur means difficult. Ga means go. It's very difficult to get out. It's like a prison house. You have, you know, Bhumir, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Ka, Mano, Budhir, Evacha, Ahankara, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. There's like so many layers around the universe. Each layer 10 times more big than the previous layer. So it's almost impossible to get out. So we are in a prison, and we actually put ourselves here by our bad behavior. That is how I understand it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prabhupada's books. So we can't really renounce anything because we don't really own anything. And then if we falsely claim things, then we will be further entangled. Because, like I said, we're already like in a prison house, and you know, if you come into a prison, then they take away all your clothes, and you get prison clothes, and generally everything that is in the prison. I mean, it's an example, so it's not completely perfect, but generally everything that you use in the prison it's not yours. Your possessions are left at the door, and when you go out of the prison, then you get your possessions back. So, similarly in the material world, everything that you get, it's not really yours. And if you start claiming that, like if you're in the prison and you start saying, this is my pants, or you even start to encroach on other people's possessions, then you're going to stay longer in the prison. Because sooner or later, the guards or the prison director is going to find out and he's going to say, you know, you're not like in America to have this... like, you know, you get like a special pardon, and you can go earlier. It's like a parole board, and if you have good behavior, then you can come out earlier. But if you have bad behavior, then you have to do your whole sentence. And if it's really bad, then they can increase your sentence. So that is kind of the idea what Prabhupada is explaining here. That if you stay attached to the fruits, if you say this is mine, you get more entangled because it's illegal, and this is how the material energy works. You get totally entangled because it's not yours, and somebody else, like you're rich people or famous people, they're always scared that somebody will come into their house. And I once read an interview of a famous person. He says, most of my money is spent on getting privacy. So they buy big houses with a wall around it so crazy people cannot enter, or they go to a super duper expensive island where nobody ever gets. So, you know, so many crazy people or photographers, they won't chase them there. So... yeah, so you get entangled. You think, you know, I'm famous or I'm rich. When people are rich, they're very scared that other people will take their money. You just get entangled. But like with Prabhupada, I mean, it's not that when you're Krishna conscious and you run a temple that you're not careful of the money, but it's not your money, it's Krishna's money. So you, although you try to manage it in the best possible way, and, you know, when I was in Amsterdam, we also had a safe there. It's not that you don't have a safe. But so you try your best, but ultimately you know that it's all in Krishna's hands, and therefore you don't get entangled, because you just do your best, and then you leave the result up to Krishna, and any result that you have, that you just offer to Krishna, and then you stay unentangled. This is the secret. Because here Prabhupada continues, except for work in Krishna consciousness, all activities are abominable, because they continually bind the worker to the cycle of birth and death. As Grundamaya was also explaining, if somebody gives you some money, or you give some person some money, what we know from Srimad Bhagavatam is then the next life you have to come back to collect that money, or to give that money to the person. So, of course, Don't worry. Once you surrender to Krishna, then all these things will be automatically solved. But if you don't surrender to Krishna, then you have to personally be responsible for your actions. And of course, as you surrender to Krishna, that is how he will reward you. So that's why Prabhupada always stressed that we have to become fully Krishna conscious. Otherwise, he says, even if there is one tinge of material desire, then we have to stay in the material world. At the same time, he also used to say, you know, if you do your best, giving up your material desires, then at the end of your life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will personally come and drag you. And that is especially if you, and that is basically what we're all doing, especially when you preach. You know, so if you, well, I explained in the beginning, if you try to, give others knowledge and you try to engage them in the Sankirtan Yajna, like we always try to train up new devotees and like that, then Krishna is very pleased. Like sometimes, I'm like the pujari. I was sometimes doing it on Wednesday in the evening. And then I realized, I mean, it's my personal realization, so don't think too much of it. But then I realized that it's so sad if these curtains are open, because it happened and then there was nobody there. And you realize, at least I realized, that they're actually there. Radha Gopinath is there. Gornitai, he's there. It's like an expansion, but they're actually there. And they're like, where are my devotees? Where are they? And they're like disappointed. I mean, that's how I felt. I felt like, oh. And they want to see their devotee. So when a new devotee comes in, they already know that person. They're like, oh, I'm so happy to see him. We're not impersonalists. We know Krishna's in our heart and he knows everything. But Gornita is actually there. They're in a particular mood. And they get very ecstatic when we bring in new devotees. And you know, we're discussing it also today or the other day. They're also very happy. And this is a kind of a, maybe it's a little bit hanging in the air, maybe it's not, but I'll say it anyway, that if we cooperate, then they're also very, very happy. So, anyway, it's nice if the curtains, like this morning I was late for Mangalarti, but usually all the devotees, they are on time. So that is very nice, the curtains open, and then I'm sure the deities must be very happy that there's so many devotees coming to Mangalarti. But, you know, at the same time, there's... of course, during the day, I also never come, because then there's also so many darshans. But the evening, Prabhupada particularly stressed that we should try and come to the evening. I also wasn't there this RT. So, you know, please excuse me. But I'm trying to say that it's not only that we have to come for ourselves. It's good if we do it for ourselves. But we should also try to become Krishna conscious, and we should think, you know... oh, you know, Krishna wants to see me. Like Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, don't act that, you know, like I want to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So that's the idea. But the point is that Krishna wants to see you. That's actually the point I want to make. Krishna really wants to see us. And if we bring in new devotees, he's so happy. Oh, a new devotee. Thank you for bringing him. I've been waiting so long for this new devotee. And then he gets very merciful to us. And that could be like a reason that he becomes... because Krishna is also a person like you and me. Sometimes we forget, or I forget, that Krishna is actually a devotee. He like Gopinath, also likes to hear Bhagavad Gita. I mean, it's a known fact in the material world. Everybody likes to hear about himself. Or they like to hear their own voice, like we all like to talk, especially me. So that ultimately comes from God. It comes from Gopinath. It comes from Krishna. So Gopinath also likes to hear Bhagavad Gita. He likes to hear kirtan. Krishna likes kirtan. The gopis, they are making kirtan for Krishna. And he's playing flute. So Krishna is in those things, like kind of basic things, he's not different from us. We shouldn't forget that. And similarly, he wants to see us. He's like, where are my devotees? So we should be Krishna conscious that Gopinath and Gornitai and Jagannath, that they all really want to see us. And like I said, they also, most of all, they want us to cooperate. And cooperate basically means, you know, as if I look at myself, that I try to cooperate with that devotee. Not that the devotee has to cooperate also with me. It would be nice, but it shouldn't be the mood, because otherwise it doesn't work. I have to cooperate with you, you also have to cooperate with me. That really, I can assure you, at least from my experience, it really doesn't work. Cooperate means, Prabhu means master, Prabhu means Krishna. I will cooperate with you. Whatever you say, I will do. That means cooperation. And then, you know, you have to hope for the best. Prabhupada says, from all the Mahajans, Prahlad Maharaj is the best example. So even he tried to cooperate with his father. He said, you're the best of the demons, and he was being poisoned and everything. And he kept being humble and preaching till the last end. Right? Even when his father drew his sword, he wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there. And then Nrisingadev appeared. But he wasn't calling for Nrisingadev. I mean, if you think about it, he was 5 years old. It's really amazing. And Narada Muni was his guru, because he preached to his mother when he was in the womb. So, and he is in our line. We are in the line of Narada Muni, so we are so fortunate. One should therefore never desire to be the cause of work. Yes, I'm not 100% sure what Prabhupada means with it. I mean, again, if you look how Prabhupada formulates it, he said one should therefore never desire to be the cause of work. We're never the cause of work. We're not the cause of... But we can desire to be the cause of work. I did this, you know? Or... I want to do this, you know. I want to be the cause of. And I don't want to call any examples because I might get into trouble. But I think you know what I mean, right? We all want to achieve something, you know. Like Prabhupada said, you know, if I did anything, then I just translated Bhagavad Gita as it is. But generally, he would say it's all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. It's all the mercy of Krishna. And Guru Padma also, he explained to me many times that in the so-called old days, you know, I don't know what it means exactly, that he said all the devotees always would say when somebody would compliment him, that it's all Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. And although sometimes, or many times, it might be artificial, but it's still good at least to think it, and maybe also to say it. At the same time, I personally also sometimes take a compliment. I say, oh, thank you, that's very nice. Because I also feel that at least if I look at myself, and, you know, generally we are pretty much the same, I like to be encouraged. I you know, like, Partha also, he's teaching me that you have to connect with people on the street. Nobody really likes to be preach to, like what I'm doing now. It's actually, I'm sorry, I'm not such a good lecturer, but you know, nobody likes to be preached to, you know. I'm learning, so just be patient. But if you connect with someone, I did it, I tried to do it, but once I really did it, Partha wasn't even there. The devotees, they were basically kicking me out of the car on the gas station. They said, come on, Manu, distribute a book. And I saw this man, and I really didn't want to go to him, and I was actually scared to go to him. I thought, why am I scared? I should face my fear. So I walked up to him, I knocked on the window, and lo and behold, you know, he pushed the button and the window went down. And I said, I have these books here, and I want to give you this book. It's spiritual books about yoga and stress, exactly what Partha always says. And I said, are you a little bit spiritual? So this was the connection. And he said, yes. He said, yes, I'm a little bit spiritual. But my girlfriend, she's even more spiritual. And that's when we had a connection. It was not anymore me trying to give him a book. I was trying to have a conversation with a person. At that time, we were actually like friends. Because it's very intimate, you know. It's a very intimate question. Are you spiritual? He said, yes, I'm a little bit spiritual. It's a question on the spirit, on the soul. It's a very intimate moment, actually. And then... you know, I asked for a donation, then he didn't have a donation, then his girlfriend came in, and lo and behold, she gave €5 for this book, Glories of India. So it was very nice. But the point is that and Anyway, I kind of forgot my point, but we need to connect. That is one of the things I wanted to explain. We need to connect with people. Do you remember what I was saying? Right. Oh, I see. Okay. Oh yeah, here, we're still here. One should therefore never desire to be the cause of work. Okay. Anyway, it will come to me, it doesn't matter, it's not so important. Everything should be done in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. Misers do not know how to utilize the assets of riches which they acquire by good fortune or by hard labor. They can also inherit some money. You know, Prabhupada says usually the rich children squander the money. And it's true, actually. Like Partha also was saying that he used to distribute books in Hollywood. And these people really don't know what they have to do with their money. Some of these, especially actors, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but some of these actors are actually low class. They had not much education and they became actors just because they, you know, they had nothing else to do. And they really don't know what to do with their money. Like Elvis. You know, he was buying these big trucks, like digging machines, like they use for making roads. And he had this gang around him, like all these friends, so-called friends. And they were having games with them. They were like ramming into each other. A car like that cost like maybe a few hundred thousand dollars, you know. It's very expensive. And they were just crashing them. So people really don't know what to do with their money. And one devotee told me that, and if you ever distribute books, you must have experienced this at least once, that in every city, people are waiting for us to come, you know. And we'd only be more lucky if you meet somebody who's rich and you meet him, because then he immediately, like Prabhupada met, what's his name, Ambarish Maharaj, Ford, I don't know, I forgot his name, Alfred Ford, the grandson, or was it great-grandson, right? Grandson of Alfred Ford. Henry Ford. And, you know, he engaged all his money, still engaging all his money. That's why we're building now the, what is it called? Temple of Vedic? The Vedic Planetarium. So, you know, he's engaging his money in a proper way. But most rich people, they really don't know how to utilize their money or assets. One should spend all energies working in Krishna consciousness, and that will make one's life successful. Like misers, unfortunate persons do not employ their human energy in the service of the Lord. Yeah. So, any questions? Well, I mean, I will be honest with you. It for me also, it is still a little bit confusing, even after 15 years. I'm now in the process of reading Burijan's book. He talks about the yoga ladder, because it was also confusing for him. You know, this was one of the reasons why he started this study. It's called Surrender Unto Me, and I can definitely recommend that book. I never wanted to read it because I thought it was, I don't know, I was a little bit fanatical, you know. Okay, we can read it. I mean, I think basically it is I haven't read all of it. I read the summaries in the end of the chapter. It's basically very nice. At the same time, you know, you are right. Because Prabhupada, he many times explains these things like you just described. You know. Anyway, I think we can first read this. And then I can comment maybe a little bit more. Uh, Okay, here it is. All in all, I'll just read a little bit. All in all, the complete letter is called Yoga and may be divided into three parts, namely Jnana Yoga, Jhana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. The beginning of the letter is called Yoga Ruruksu stage, and the highest rung is called Yoga Ruda.
Huh?
Well, for me, it doesn't make it much clearer, but. Anyway, so you have Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is described in the, where is it, third chapter. And it means action. Like I said, yoga means to connect with Krishna. So, I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. And Prabhupada says everything is here in this book. So, Krishna... The Bhagavad Gita is like a summary of everything in one sense. Like Parthasarta also explained to me that he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Right? Right. But Partha was saying he was reading the CC and the Bhagavatam, and he couldn't explain about these different kinds of yoga, because it's not really explained in those books. So the point is that Krishna, he gives a summary of everything that is written in the Vedas. At the same time, Krishna says, Vedanta Grit Vedavit Eva Chaham. You know, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. I'm the knower of the Vedas, and I'm to be known by the studier of the Vedas. So, Prabhupada explains what I understand from my study, that real karma yoga means that you do it for Krishna. And ultimately, it is, in one sense, it is non-different from bhakti yoga. At the same time, I remember some of the... I'm not sure if that is if you read that, but I remember, especially, I think, is in the 12th chapter, when Prabhupada speaks about devotional service. He speaks about different levels, or Krishna speaks, and Prabhupada explains it. And I mean, it's not specifically karma yoga, but more or less... Karma yoga can also be explained that somebody is just, you know, doing some work. Like, for instance, we have like so many Hindu people as congregation, and they work very hard, and then they give part of their money to the temple. So you could also say to some extent that this is karma yoga. But you can also say karma yoga is what we're doing. We're doing action, and we're performing it for Krishna. And I don't know. I'm really a little bit reluctant to read it because it might even confuse it more. You know. Yeah, here Prabhupada does explain it a little bit more clear. The thing also is that my understanding of Prabhupada is that he sometimes gives purport according to the mood of the verse. So it, you know, it's spiritual knowledge. It's a little bit tricky sometimes. You have to try to understand what Prabhupada is saying, and not. Although Prabhupada says we have to know this book like a lawyer, it's not really a law book. It's the Bhagavad Gita, so you have to try to penetrate. Ultimately, a lawyer also does that. He tries to see what is the meaning of the law, what's behind it. So similarly, we have to study Bhagavad Gita also like that. I mean, all these processes ultimately are given by Krishna to put people on a higher level. That's how it's explained generally. That first you have karma yoga, and it culminates into jnana yoga. You start to think about things and to speculate. And then it culminates in buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. That generally is how it's explained. But here's another explanation. He says, he speaks about a verse. He says, the purport of this verse is that one should not engage in the different process of fruitive activity. This is read from page 508 at the bottom of the purport. It's 12.7. He said, one should not engage in the different processes of fruitive activity or cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. So this sometimes also refers to karma and jnana. You know, fruitive activity, because that's what we're talking about, because that's probably why you're asking. And to cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. This is kind of like what Plato was doing and Socrates. He called Socrates a jnani. He said, this is very close. And to be a jnani, a real jnani, it's not nothing. Because he speculated that I'm not the body. And Prabhupada appreciated it. And he gave the example that they were causing disturbance actually in Athens. Because they were preaching to the youth, specifically Socrates. Because Plato basically was his disciple. And he wrote everything down. But the real man was Socrates. He was the real, kind of realized jnani. And Prabhupada tells the story that they were disturbing the youth because they were telling people that you don't have to work, you follow spiritual life. You philosophize, you think about life, what's the meaning of... And they were getting disturbed because if you know a little bit about the history of Greece, it was very aggressive. They conquered the whole world almost, you know. They conquered like so many parts of Africa, Europe. They were very heavy guys. So, you know, they really didn't want a bunch of philosophers and just, you know, turn all the kids into philosophers. So they told Socrates, you got to stop this, you know. And they put him in prison. And they actually told him, because there was going to come a whole court case, and of course Socrates probably would have wiped away the whole, attack, because he was so intelligent. And they asked him to, please, you drink this poison, hemlock. And Prabhupada says that Socrates was so realized that he was not a body that he said, yes, I'll take it. And he immediately drank it because he knew I'm not a body, it doesn't matter. So this is very high level. But of course, as a jnani, it's still they were speculating about what is the truth. And you can never figure out what is Krishna. Krishna has to be given by you. You see, this Bhagavad Gita has been given by us, by Srila Prabhupada. You cannot figure out Krishna by yourself. It has to, because it's Krishna. It's a person. It has to be given to you. And that is ultimately what is bhakti yoga. So is it a little bit more clear? I mean, this is a difficult topic, huh? But I think to make it easy for you, you just read what I just read. You know, karma yoga generally is called fruit of activity. And jnana yoga is, well, you can't really, karma actually is fruit of activity. That's actually how it is. And jnana means cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. But karma yoga, there is where it gets, you could say interesting actually, not maybe not tricky. Because yoga means to connect with God. So you basically offer, which is what I gave the example, you offer your fruits to Krishna. You work, but you offer it to Krishna. But this is still a lower level. And at the same time, you also have to be aware that we are fruitive as conditioned souls. We want to work and then enjoy. And we want to speculate. So therefore, Rupa Goswami says, you have to give these things up. What is that verse? Jnana karmadi anavritam. You know that verse? You know that verse, right? Jnana karmadi anavritam. Yeah, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir ujjate. And then jnana karma jnanadi anavritam bhakti. And then bhakti yoga ujjate, no? This is called bhakti yoga. So that is Rupa Goswami, he explains what it means. And this is also very important because he also says there it has to be favorable. You have to serve Krishna favorably. Prabhupada gives the example of the spiritual master asks for water, you shouldn't bring milk. You should bring water. And that was also, we're speaking about that loving devotional service. Prabhupada says it also. It's important to notice it. He says, yeah, everything should be done in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. So if you read it, you think everything should be done in Krishna consciousness, that it should be enough. But Prabhupada adds, for the satisfaction of Krishna. So that is that anukalyena Krishnanu, that it should be done favorably. Because you can do something Krishna conscious, I'm thinking of Krishna, you know. Like I'm thinking of, you know, Krishna on the battlefield, so I'm Krishna. But it should be for the satisfaction of Krishna as well. It should not just be mindless. This is another indication of why it's called Buddhi Yoga. That's why Prabhupada said you have to become conscious and then Krishna conscious. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, you surrender everything except your intelligence. You need your intelligence. Also when Prabhupada, because we were talking about how to get the mercy, it's by preaching. For preaching also, you need intelligence. That we were discussing a little bit about me and Partha and connecting with people, you know. So you need intelligence for that, to do that. So, yeah, and you just have to study it, huh? Because, the third chapter is called Karma Yoga. And then I think basically the fourth chapter, it's called Transcendental Knowledge. I'm not 100, I forgot, but I think that is Jnana Yoga, you know, more or less. But like I said, where it gets tricky is the word yoga. Because yoga immediately means that it's connected to Krishna. And therefore it gets a little bit confusing. So I think you have to make a very good distinction between karma and karma yoga, and jnana, and jnana yoga. I think that is maybe where the confusion is. And like I said, I have to study it more deeply because I'm also not so clear on it. But you can also study this book of Burjan, and he really went deep into. But at the same time, I want to also impress that you also read Prabhupada's purports in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, because this is not such an easy thing to understand. And sometimes devotees, this is my experience, that sometimes they read something and then they think they know better, you know. You have to be very careful of that. Because like I said, ultimately, all these things are there to bring us closer to Krishna. And, just this text, you know, we're reading it, 249. I mean, this is not easy, eh? Keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. I mean, all these verses, you can read something here from, this is from Karma Yoga, this is text 30. I'm just reading something. Surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. I mean, who can do this? If you do this, then this is the chapter Karma Yoga. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're fully Krishna conscious. You can't... It's just kind of complicated. The thing is, it's Krishna. He's speaking. So, like I said, he knows everything. At the same time, the Vedas are quite confusing themselves. Vyasadeva wasn't happy after he wrote the Vedas. He was ordered to write them. And then he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately. This is part of the Mahabharata. But it's... Because Mahabharata is called Smriti, right? Like, you remember it, it's a history, and then you tell it. But this is considered Shruti, because it's directly spoken by Krishna. It's untouched. Smriti means somebody has to remember it. But Shruti means it's directly spoken by the Lord, it's not touched. So this is considered Shruti. And so where it gets tricky is that Krishna tries to explain all these different processes from the Vedas, but because he explains it, the way it should have been explained. And And therefore it gets a little bit confusing. Because he explains in such a way that actually it is like I would just read you something. This is full Krishna consciousness if you do this. You know, so just keep studying. You can tell me about your realizations. I also still don't fully understand it. But ultimately, just remember this verse, because we get things through parampara, and this is what Rupa Goswami is saying. So you have to give up karma and jnana and anadi. Anadi means also, because that is another, we didn't discuss it. It's actually karma, yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga. That's actually how it is explained. You have the Socrates, he's like a jnani, philosopher, but then you have the real yogis that are in the Himalayas, and they meditate on the super soul. So they're more advanced than Socrates. They can actually see the Lord Vishnu in their heart. It's not Krishna, because like I said, if you want Krishna, you need a guru. But it's Vishnu, so they're almost there. That is Astanga Yoga. So that's even higher. Like sometimes Buddhists are considered also a little bit like jnani. So you figure out, you know, the material world is suffering. I'm just going to completely detach myself. I'm just going to sit and meditate. This is even higher. Anyway, so we'll stop there. We're discussing karma, jnana, and astanga. We're getting a little confused because it all sounds, when Krishna explains, it sounds like bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga. You have any final words? Anyway, we don't have to complicate it so much. You can just chant Hare Krishna, that's it. Really. I'm not joking, you know. Ultimately, we have to understand, we cannot understand Krishna fully. We can serve Him fully. Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up. Like, especially when we were discussing a few weeks ago about the fall down of the jiva. Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up. Don't think you can understand Krishna. Just try to serve Him. Everything will be okay. And best way is to chant Hare Krishna. Easiest way. This is what we do right now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.